Chapter 22. A Testing Time. Caliban. For several hours, Luther had laboured over the specific arrangement and choreography of the triumphal feast. It was an endeavour requiring attention to detail only previously encountered during the planning of his wedding to Fiona. He didn't want to think about his wife, not now. She had died during the birth of their first child, along with their daughter, just 2 years after their nuptials. Half a year later, Luther had stumbled upon a feral boy in the forest. What might have happened had the lion been raised with a mother and sister? Possibilities. They had plagued his thoughts of late. Standing upon the path to a new future, an abyss of destruction on either side had turned his mind to the past more frequently than in the previous 50 years. What if he had allowed the Saroshi to kill the lion? What if he had not relinquished the grand mastery of the order? What if he had not saved that boy in the woods? Regrets? No. The only true regrets were for actions not taken. He had no plans to regret the next few hours and days. The universe and Corswain's naivety had delivered an opportunity to Luther, one that he had to seize. He kept these turbulent thoughts deep, always ready with a smile or quip for those around him. "I am sure that the small comforts of Caliban have been sorely absent these past years," he said to his neighbours at the head table. Belath on his right, Griffane on the left. Belath picked at his plate, eating little. Griffane appeared relaxed, in occasional conversation with those around him, quick to smile. Beyond the supposedly former voted lieutenant of the Firewing sat Lord Cypher. On the other side of the chaptermaster, the chair was occupied by Sawless Magon, mistress of the Angelicaster. Like Luther, she was augmented to be more powerful and longer lived than any normal human, and her appetite matched her enlarged physique. There were two other officers from the transport fleet, lieutenants both, who ate heartily from the platters before them. Asmodeus sat to the far right, stroking his chin thoughtfully, physically present but mentally absent. The rest of Belath's command sat at the trenches along two tables perpendicular to the Grand Master's. It was a ludicrously small gathering for the massive space of the Hall of the Semiel, but Luther wanted his guests to feel as comfortable as possible with their surroundings.
"Grand Master, might I ask a question?" Griffane asked suddenly.
"By all means, feel free to ask whatever you wish," Luther replied.
"While it is an honour to be feasted in this fashion, I have noticed the absence of several of your senior officers, Astolan, for instance, and your librarian, Brother Zahariel. I do not see them."
"Master Astolan attends to the marshalling of the troops for your relief force, Sergeant Griffane."
"A ponderous task for one of his rank and experience," said the voted lieutenant.
"Yet one from which he could not be prized, like a limpet on a rock," Luther continued smoothly. "Astolan has several faults, but laziness is not one of them. Overly prideful, perhaps, which explains why he insists on leading the recruits into orbit."
The lie came so easily, unrehearsed, natural, becoming truth the moment it fell from his lips. Luther had once worried how easily he spilled the half-truths and deceptions, but he comforted himself with the knowledge that he served a higher truth with such manipulation.
"As for my librarians and other officers, you have somewhat preempted me with your observational skills, Griffane."
Luther stood and held out his arms, attracting the attention of all in the hall. The chatter of conversation and clatter of bowls and plates quietened and then vanished altogether. There was movement on the galleries overlooking the feast. 100 space marines clad in black assembled on each, their bolters presented to the troops below.
"Hail our conquering heroes!"
the 200 space marines declared, their external voxes filling the hall with echoes for several seconds.
"Hail!"
"Brothers!"
Luther declared when the noise had quietened.
"Welcome back to Caliban. By ancient tradition, the greatest honour I can bestow upon returning heroes is for the Grand Master and his captains to serve upon those that have been brought home on the tides of war. So it was in the oldest days of Alderuk, as it will be today. Regardless of rank or deeds, to the warriors of Caliban that have waited for your return, each of you is a hero beyond measure, and this feast is our tribute to you."
Waiting by the open doors, Zahariel heard these words and acknowledged their signal with a nod to the Grand Master. As Luther picked up a pitcher of wine from the table and turned to Belath, the Master and his Mistai entered, each accompanied by two officers of centurion rank, one of each pair bearing a salver with gold goblets and silver cups upon it, the other holding a huge jug of wine. They wore the surcoats of neophytes over their armour, especially sewn by serfs that afternoon, one of many details insisted upon by Luther. Zahariel could not match the Grand Master's sense of theatre, but admitted to himself that the effect was of noble officers humbly presenting themselves to their peers.
"Drink deep of Caliban's grape. You shall not know the like again for many years," Luther declared, pouring red wine for Belath before turning to Griffane.
The Mistai split, heading for the two tables, Zahariel leading one group, Vasago the other. They moved to the closest occupants.
"Wine for the returning hero," Zahariel said quietly as he arrived at the first Space Marine shoulder.
"In centuries past," said Luther, "when knights of the Order rode out into the dark forest to confront the great beasts or to wage war on the lesser authorities, it was customary on the eve of their departure to hold a funeral banquet. They were never expected to return, and in hearing their eulogies would not hold back in battle."
He paused and looked at Belath. Zahariel slipped his mind free from its mortal tethers, riding the pulse of Caliban's power into the periphery of the closest legionary's thoughts. As Luther continued, the Master of the Mistai picked up fleeting thoughts, images and impressions from the mind of the Space Marine.
"Many decades ago, we all departed this green world to fight in the crusade of the Emperor, bringing the imperial truth to a benighted galaxy. Some of us spent only a little time on that noble endeavour, but you have given your lives to that cause. Just as when the knights set out to confront the great beasts, not expecting to return, you trod your last steps on beautiful Caliban soil without thoughts of coming back."
Mention of Caliban brought greater responses than those of the Emperor and the Great Crusade. Zahariel detected a surge of memory and loyalty when Luther spoke of leaving Caliban. He picked up a golden cup from the tray carried by Master Adathian and placed it in front of the Space Marine from Belath's flotilla. Captain Vastobal filled the goblet and they moved to the next warrior.
"This was the place of your birth, but as Dark Angels, it was not your home. That lay upon starships and far-flung war zones across the breadth of the known stars and the shadowed abysses between. It is a shame that you departed Alderuk without that ancient ritual, but perhaps it would have been untimely. We had not yet discovered who we truly were. The staff of eulogies, the tales of heroism and honor, were to be made out in the stars, not in the forests of Caliban."
"Wine for the hero," Zahariel murmured, skimming the outermost thoughts of the next warrior.
This one responded more when Luther spoke of the Dark Angels, his thoughts returning again and again to the Legion icon upon the shoulder of the Space Marine sitting opposite. Zahariel plucked a silver goblet from Ardathian's salver and placed it on the table.
"I send another 30,000 sons of Caliban into a war that has no equal. The Space Marine legions have fallen into conflict with one another. The galaxy is in flames, and my brother Corswain calls upon me to lend aid."
Zahariel had always respected Luther's power of oratory, but he was impressed even more by his verbal dexterity. As the Mistai moved through the host, the Grand Master spun a speech that encompassed everything from the Emperor to the serfs in the kitchens. Against this, Zahariel was able to measure the reactions of the assembled Dark Angels, gauging which felt more closely attached to Caliban and those that drew their identity from the Lion and the Legion. To those favourably disposed towards Luther's speech, a golden cup was given. To those that reacted poorly, a silver goblet. In this way, the loyalty of the feasters was marked. When Zahariel and his companions were done, save for those at the head table, too close to Asmodeus for any psychic probing to remain undetected, the Master of the Mistai and other officers withdrew to one side, passing the salvers to serfs of Alderuk. Luther continued for another couple of minutes and then drew his speech to a close. He gestured towards the doors, and more attendants entered, bearing with them fresh platters of food.
Feast, my brothers, and celebrate. We await the dawn and a fresh coming of day. There come upon us great woes, but also great hope. We must face these challenges, each to his honour as he judges it. As the mettle of a sword is not tested until it is swung, so the mettle of our loyalty goes unknown until it is strained.
The Grand Master looked at Griffane and then back to the assembled Space Marines.
Where the battle rages, there the loyalty of the soldier is proved, and to be steady on all the battlefield besides is mere flight and disgrace if he flinches at that point.